Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's live stream. Seems like I have something playing in the background. Well, there it is. Yeah, I closed out that one. All right, now we're back on track. So welcome, everybody, to today's live stream. We've got a lot to cover, and I'm going to share my screen here momentarily. If for those of you that are here that are logging in, if you could just drop a comment, let me know where you're watching from, particularly if you're watching over on X, because I want to make sure that the StreamYard connection over there is working properly. So drop a comment. Let me know where you were watching from. I can see X over there, but I don't see the comments coming in just yet. So let me know about that, and we'll get things going here. All righty. So here's what we're talking about today. We're namely talking about market mood. We're talking about the different gyrations that the market has gone through. We've had some choppy waters. If you were trading, if you're in the market right now, type in, let me know that you're actively trading. And if you are, if you felt the tremors from yesterday. Well, we had an earthquake here in New York today. I think it was from the tremors that we felt yesterday in the market, where we had this big outside negative reversal day closing on its lows. And thought it would be important to hop on here and talk about this, because if you're like most people, and I'm like most people, so imagine you would be too, you probably felt that pullback a little bit. And so I want to give you or share with you how I go about looking at markets, and hopefully it could help you too. One of the reasons why I look at markets in the way that I do is because this whole system and strategy was developed while I was trading part-time. And I learned different strategies, right? Well, most of us sitting here have all heard of guys like William O'Neill and Mark Minervini. Perhaps you've heard of Nicholas Darvis. Maybe you've heard of Jesse Livermore and other people in that space. And it's absolutely fantastic. It all works. The challenge that I found early on was putting it to work as a part-timer. Well, when I first discovered the CanSlim methodology and Investor's Business Daily, I still had my full-time job. I found it in 2011 was when I first started going and reading O'Neill's book and started to attend the IBD meetups. And the challenging thing with it, I thought, was how do you make all this complexity work part-time? So I wanted to try to distill it into the bare minimum that I would be able to do as a guy with a full-time job. Let me know, type into the chat if you are a part-timer, if you've experienced similar problems. I want to hear all about it. We've got a bunch of people on the stream so far. According to StreamYard, it looks like we've got 25 people watching live right now. Thank you guys for being here. Type into the chat and let me know. But the system that I ended up coming up with was this here. This is it in a nutshell. And I talk about this in the Trading Mind Wheel book, but to walk you through what we have here, there's really three different ways that we can look at the market and come up with some kind of assessment. There's the general market, the place that you're making all your transactions, right? So this is going to be true whether you're trading stocks or Forex or you're just going over to the supermarket. There's some general market, the store that you're walking into. Then there's your system. The system are the trades that you're willing to take. So again, whether you're trading stocks or Forex or crypto or just going down the produce aisle, you have in your mind what it is that's going to make a good, I don't know, piece of celery. There's certain ways that you're going to test the grapefruit. There's certain ways that you're going to test to see if you've got a leading stock, or if this Forex pair is right for you, or if Bitcoin is setting up it in the right way. And then, of course, you want to take a look at your personal performance as well. Are you making money? Right? Because at the end of the day, that's why we're here. That's why we're trading. And if what you're doing in this area here in the general market is a correct assessment, and if what you have for your setup is also leading you to what are high quality trades, then your personal performance should be going steadily up. And that doesn't mean that you're going to win every single trade, and that doesn't mean that your equity curve is not going to have dips along the way. But what it does mean is that if you do look at your performance, say over a month, over 3 months, over 6 months, over a year, it should be steadily rising. It should be moving along with the market. And if it's not, then there's a problem in one of these three areas. And that's okay. That's okay, because we're all on a learning path. And so now it's just trying to figure out, well, where do I need to put my efforts to improve? So let's walk through what each one of these things may include, right? Or are there any questions so far? Go ahead and type your questions into the chat while I take a sip of coffee here. Let's see, anything yet? No, not yet. Okay, perfect. So what would you include in the general market? Some people like to include all sorts of things. You might have FOMC. You might have various major news that comes out about the general market, certain economic elements. Maybe you're somebody that turns on and has CNBC playing in the background. Maybe you have a whole bunch of different live streams, and all that is part of how you're going to assess the general market. I used to do similar. I used to have Investor's Business Daily, reading that every single day, and that was part of how I would assess the general market. I wanted to take what somebody else's experience was, right? Like much better than mine as a newbie, and see what they had to say and adopt it, right? That seems pretty reasonable. What I learned and from how I ended up learning from them and adopting it to what I would do is to look at the major indexes first. And let me show you what we've got here. So on the screen, what you're seeing here are five major indexes and one ETF. Up here, we have the S&P 500. Over here, we've got the NASDAQ. Here's the Russell. This is the New York Stock Exchange. This down here is the Dow Jones. And over here is the IBD 50, which basically tracks growth stocks. Now, the reason why I want to take a look at it on a daily time frame first is, one, it's getting me into the dirt, right? Like if we think of it as, to borrow a term from Gary Vaynerchuk, clouds and dirt, right? Like the larger perspective and then getting into the dirt, this is part of the dirt, where you're getting kind of microscopic and seeing, well, what's happening on a day-to-day basis. Depending on your style, if you're a swing trader or a day trader, this is going to be a little bit more important. But also, if you're somebody that's a trend trader, intermediate term, or let's say that you're somebody that's long-term, this kind of stuff could still be important, because if you want to try to buy a pullback, let's say, let's say that you're interested in starting a new position in a sector ETF or an index ETF like SPY or QQQ, you'll still want to take a look at the daily timeframes, because there you're really going to be able to nail when to start a brand new position. You might also be able to see some of the early turns in by looking at the daily time frames here. So on this daily time frame, now what do you see? I'll tell you what I see. On these charts, part of what I'm seeing, and you know what? Let's make my face a little bit smaller and make the charts a little bit bigger over here. Hopefully that helps you see things better. What I'm seeing is some particularly choppy action, right? On all the indexes. And it got a bit more choppy yesterday. What happened yesterday was an outside, they call this bar here, let's make this chart nice and big. They call this an outside negative reversal. Why is it called that? It's called that because the price action is both higher and lower than the day immediately before it, and it also closed down on the day. Outside negative reversal day. And if you notice, there's this little triangle on top too. That's flagging a distribution day. A distribution day means that there's institutional selling happening. So the major big boys in the market, right? So your hedge funds and pension funds, mutual funds, those guys are selling on that day. Why is that important? I'll tell you why. One of the reasons why institutional selling is important and it's important to track is because that's what William O'Neill found by his research that can tank an index or the market in general. If you start to get too many of them in a row, it puts pressure on the market and it can lead to a correction or worse. So at this point over here, right, make my face smaller again. At this point, we actually have four distribution days in the span of a 10-day period. Now, well, why is that important? That's important as one of the things that I learned from Mike Webster, who maybe you've heard that name. If you haven't, go follow him over on X. This guy is fantastic. He's one of the guys that taught at market school, one of the advanced level courses taught by Investors Business Daily. And what he discovered was that when you start to get a bunch of distribution days in the span of a two-week period, right, four or more, they call it a cluster, that's something that can really put even more pressure on the market. So that's why I like to track it here as well. Something else that I noticed yesterday, perhaps you noticed it as well, if we zoom out and we start to take a look at this whole move here, right? So market's really been running since October. Yesterday was the first time that you had a real close below the 21 period moving average, that purple line right there. That's significant too. The reason why it's significant is because, well, one, it hasn't happened throughout the entire move. And two, it starts to show a change in character in the market. Why is a change in character important? Well, because if we're tracking this quote-unquote change in character, what was working previously, buying the dip, selling the rip, buying the dip, selling the rip, that could be changing, right? Change in character. That's what it means. So we want to be tuned into that. Now, does it mean that it will? Does it mean that the market's not going to bounce right back? No, but we want to be on our toes when we start to see changes in character like this. So I'll also come over here and I'll take a look at what's happening on the other indexes as well. Something that you may have seen while I had all my annotations up was this right here. And we'll even expand this over to, you know what? Well, let me not do that. I want to make sure that the day is closed before I expand this. Just to briefly tell you what this is here, this, all this color coding, it ties into what we've got over here, right? This Venn diagram. So we've been talking about the general market. And by the time we're done looking at the general market, your system, and your personal performance, when you take a look at all three of those, well, the beauty of it is that it gives you a full picture, and then you can come to an overall assessment based on that full picture. And very simply, I like to say, okay, it's a red environment, a yellow environment, and a green environment. And when you start to get these out of whack, that's when it's a red environment. So what happened over the past several days to make it be a red environment? Well, one of the other things that I track, aside from just the price action on these indexes, is this down here. This down here, this indicator, is a new highs versus new lows indicator. And so it's just simply tracking how many new 52-week highs were there, how many new 52-week lows were there on that given day. And any time it's been where new lows are outpacing new highs, that has been one of the common things on every single major downtrend that's happened. Does it always lead to a downtrend? Clearly not, right? It happened over here, and it's happened a variety of times in this, but it always precedes a major downtrend. And so that's why whenever I see new lows start to outpace new highs, I like to start to get defensive, particularly if I'm going to be buying new trades. I want to factor that into how much am I willing to risk on this new trade, because I could be buying into something like this. Where you have this huge downtrend versus something that bounces. That bounces right back. Right? And you can see how well this could work sometimes. Even back here, back in September of 23. Right? The first thing that happened before the market started to roll back over here, right on this day, well, what switched on September 5th from a green condition back to a red condition? New lows outpacing new highs. And then, well, what happened? We got this. It's not 100% that it's always going to do that, but the idea is to be on guard. We're still on general market. Well, let's pick up the pace a little bit here. Let me show you my spreadsheet that I normally share with members only, but I want to share this with you because I have a goal this year. My goal is to help 100,000 people have a 5-star trading year. And by sharing the full process with you, hopefully this is able to help you, because you could take what you're learning here and go off and apply it on your own. We have a mentoring service, right? I'm not here to try to sell you on anything, but if you want additional help, that's there. But what I do want to tell you is that you could take everything that we're talking about on these live streams and go off and apply it on your own. Right? And that's really the way that you're going to start to be able to do all this stuff, is by taking the things that you learn, getting your hands dirty, and then doing it. Having coaches and mentors really shortcuts the path. I recommend it, but the way that you're going to learn is by doing. Now, I just saw a comment come in from Neil. Let's see, what does Neil have to say? I trade short-term momentum and prefer the long side. However, I'm spotting lots of weakness with some short setups. How do you suggest to turn off my long bias and tune in more with the current trend? I don't know if you do turn off the the long bias, right? Like it's not really an on-off switch, I would say. But well, what I would recommend, Neil, would be to jot out your beliefs. This is something that I actually talk about in the Trading Mind Wheel book, right? So to deviate a little bit, if we find that we have certain beliefs that are not serving us, or that we're stuck, the first thing to get unstuck, if you will, would be to start to assess what our beliefs are. It's the same thing like if you wanted to start a garden and you haven't been outside in your backyard for a while. The first thing that you would do is go out there and see what's the landscape like. Are there a lot of weeds? Well, what do I got to do before I start planting my garden? Same thing up here in our mind. So the first thing to do would be to start to write out trading beliefs. Yeah, in this case, it would be writing out your trading beliefs. You could also go a lot deeper with this exercise, with writing out beliefs about money and reading out beliefs about yourself. But Neil, in your case, write out the beliefs that you have about trading. All right. And so and you could specifically work on your long bias. So why do you have this bias? And start to dig into that part of it. And start to dig into, well, you're seeing these short setups and I'm long and what's my goals and why do I have these goals? Well, why am I thinking about the trading in this way? Jot all that stuff down. There's something magical about taking pen to paper and getting our thoughts out of our head, because once we do that, Neil, what can really happen is, well, we get it out onto the paper, we step away for a minute, go grab a coffee or hit the head or something. And then when we come back and we read what we wrote, where it helps give us a third person perspective on what was there, right? We're literally taking what's in our head and putting it out into the world. And we could thereby have a more objective view of what our beliefs are. And then we could start to see, well, this may not really be the case. Well, what might be something better, right? And that's how we could start to question our beliefs. Let's see. We got another question that came in. This one's from I'm Third. The general market is in choppy or sideways. How did you deal with the urge to take the trades? And did you still look to take the pullback buy or just wait and see, well, what's happening in the market? Okay, so we'll get to that. Let me share this here because I do want to continue walking through this sheet here, so that way you have the process down, right? So we're still in the general market. When we get to the system and personal performance, we'll talk about the actual moves that I made yesterday, today, and how those are working out so far. All right. So for general market, I want to take a look at the trends on monthly timeframes, weekly timeframes, and daily timeframes. The reason why is because that's giving me that much bigger view. If I step out and I start looking at monthly timeframes, take a look at these monthly charts. Well, what do you see? They're mostly uptrends, right? It's really only the Russell that you would say is in sideways. All the other ones are in uptrends. Well, what's there to worry about? It all seems pretty tight and controlled and steady. Right? So when you're taking a look at things on a monthly time frame, it gives you much better perspective than just taking a look at things down here on a daily time frame, where you know you get a day like yesterday and it's like, oh my god, and there's panic, right? Even sometimes you might feel that on a weekly time frame, but here, take a look at these charts. Now we're at the end of the week, right? There's only a couple hours left to go, and it looks like the market found some support on this time frame, doesn't it? Take a look at that chart of the S&P. And yesterday, we were way down here, right at the bottom of this thing. Looks like it was going to be a terrible, terrible end to the week. But now look at it. Now price is closed in the middle of its trading range. Volume is up. So that's another clue. That's one clue that says, oh, this is being accumulated, right? And so as we walk through this whole analysis, we're picking up various clues. We're picking up various clues along the way. So when I'm going through this whole process and I'm looking at the indexes on monthly timeframes and weekly timeframes and daily timeframes, I'm assessing the trends, right? That's what all these little U's and S's mean. Is it uptrend? Is it sideways? Is it a downtrend? And I'm also jotting notes along with it as to what I'm seeing. So when I'm looking at the spreadsheet, I'm able to see real clearly how much the trends have been changing, right? So like over here, let's zoom in on this a little bit, right? So when I'm over here and I see, oh, on the S&P, we were in a downtrend yesterday, sideways the day before, sideways but positive the day before that, I'm starting to see a little bit of choppiness in there. I'm starting to see similar with the rest of the indexes on the daily time frame. But I was also starting to see that kind of back and forth motion on the weekly time frames, and even a little bit over here on the Russell on the monthly. So what happens? You get earthquakes, just like how we had here in Long Island earlier today. Like you feel the tremors. But it's important to have that perspective, like a much larger perspective. And that's part of what the monthly timeframes can help you with. Just to briefly go through some of the other things that I look at. I look at the number of distribution days. We spoke about distribution briefly earlier. I also look at the number of stocks making new highs versus new lows, and I actively track that. Something else that goes into this picture, right, is your system performance. So how are the stocks that you're interested in, how are they doing? Are they breaking out and making new highs? Are they falling apart and making new lows? Are they trapping around sideways? Are they consolidating constructively? All those things can help you have a much, much better perspective on the market. For example, let's say you went to the grocery store, right? So you're in the grocery store. I like grocery analogies for some reason. Maybe it has to do with my dad having worked in a grocery store for most of his life. But grocery store analogy, you walk into the grocery store and you're walking down the produce aisle, and let's say it's empty. There's nothing to buy. Well, you can't buy any produce that day, right? At least not at that store. That's part of what your system tells you. Now, let's say that you go and you find some nice produce, but you take it and it's kind of mushy. Well, is that good produce? No. So that's part of what your system is telling you, right? That's the purpose of this. Because if you're tracking all these stocks, if you're tracking all these different setups and you're finding good ones, that's going to give you a certain impression of the market. If you're finding poor ones, then that's going to give you another impression of the market. And guess what? With both the general market so far and with your system so far, what have I not spoken about? I haven't mentioned the news once. I haven't mentioned the Fed once. Those things, that maybe those things are important to you, that's perfectly fine. The thing that matters in all of this, does it make you money? I'm only sharing the things that I actually use. And these things, well, without all the extra noise out there, are what helps me to make money and make money consistently. So as of yesterday, I was only finding C-level trades. So I didn't take any trades yesterday or coming into today. trade ideas. So I track all the different trade ideas that I find on the weekend. So all the stocks that are setting up, I actually started to pull that list together before we hopped on here. So far, I'm finding a lot of not great setups heading into next week. And so that's influencing my opinion of where the market's at right now. Why is that important? The reason why the setups are important is because stocks that are setting up are the fuel that end up driving markets higher. Think about it. If you have a bunch of stocks that are nice and tight and they're consolidating very constructively, that are poised to make a move, if they all start breaking out and making moves, wouldn't that drive the indexes higher? Of course it would. That's why I like to factor in, well, how many setups are there? What's the quality of those setups? How are those setups actually performing throughout the week? All very important stuff. Now, when I take a look at my personal performance and how things are going, that also helps me to factor in, well, how am I doing? Am I making money? Am I losing money? And it also helps me figure out too, should I be selling faster? Should I be holding on? Here is a couple of trades that I was in recently, right? So this starts to get into the question that I'm third had. So let's again take a look at this. Well, when the general market is in a choppy or sideways market, how do you deal with the urge to take trades? So the way that I deal with the urge to take trades is if they are setting up in, well, in the type of patterns that I like, and I perceive them to be high quality patterns, I will take the trade. Whether it's a poor market or a great market, I will take the trade. ARQT was one of them. All right, and I just closed out the rest of this position today. So what was it about this one here that I liked? This was one that I actually set an alert on, and I told our members that, hey, I'm setting an alert on this one versus taking just placing an order on it, and I explained why. The reason why, let's turn off the annotations first, and let me explain to you what I'm seeing here. So with ARQT, I saw this as a high tight flag. If we come over to a weekly chart, here's a weekly, and we go from the top of the base and we count backwards. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. We could see that this clearly had much bigger than a 100% move in the span of 8 weeks. It ran almost 300%. And then the consolidation phase of this was 1, 2, 3, 4. And this is week number 5. And it consolidated a little over 25%. So that's your definition of a high tight flag. What I saw was that price was pulling back into and consolidating around that red line right there. That's the 10-week line. And so it was really the first time that since down here that price was coming into that line. And so I saw that when I was doing my trading routine. Trading routines are very important, by the way. You need to have a solid trading routine. That's one of the things that helps you to automate a lot of stuff. And by automate, I don't just mean you press a button and it's all done for you. What I mean is that it's something where it helps to bring you into a flow state where you're kind of in the zone, right? If you've read that book, Trading in the Zone, it's a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. That's what a great trading routine will help you do. So when I saw this trade coming in like this and tightening up and tightening up and tightening up way down here, and I saw the moving averages getting all coiled together, that was telling me that this thing is getting ready to make a move. And so the way that I set it up was I set an alert right here, right around as this was tightening up. And I set an alert instead of placing a working order, well, when everything is set up perfectly across multiple time frames, I'll just place an order and let the order go. But this one, I set an alert. And the reason why I set an alert versus setting up a working order is because this stop level down here, well, was pretty iffy. If we take a look at a daily chart, it's in no man's land. And so that's why the stop was iffy. And that's why I wanted to place an alert on this to see, well, how does this thing open? Does it open? Does it gap up? Does it open way down here? I wanted to see that ahead of time so that way I could properly plan out, like, okay, I'm going to take this entry. I'm not going to take this entry. And by observing this the day before, too, you're able to come up with all these what-if scenarios. And if price does trigger the alert, you're able to just say, okay, it's doing what it should be doing. Plan A, bam, and take the trade. Oh, it didn't do what I expected it to do. All right, let this one go. And that's it. So this one triggered right there. And now let's go down to a one-minute chart, right? So you can see how much time you really had for this. So this thing pops out right here, right? It triggers it on minute number two. So you had about 1, 2, 3 minutes to get into this thing before it started to really move and get away from you. So if you only set the alert and then you're scrambling, that's no good, because then you're going to be like, oh, it broke out. It triggered. Does it have the volume? Does it have this? Does it have that? You need to pre-plan all that, those kinds of things. And then you're able to see, oh, you know what? It did X. Now am I ready to do Y? In this case, Y for me was placing the order, setting my stop at 9:49, getting into this thing, well, with only what was it, about 3.5%? No, closer, 3.16% risk, and then letting the trade go. And this one was one that I opted to sell. I sold the last bit of it that I had right up here, and it was filled at 1160. Now, the reason why I would sell this versus holding on to it, right? Because this looks like a pretty good breakout so far. It had to do with what we were talking about before. It had to do with the general market and going through all of the process, right? The process with the spreadsheet. I'm going through all this stuff here. I've already started to do my screening. I saw that the entire group that ARQT is in is pretty much decimated. So what I've got on my hands is a lone wolf. Now this lone wolf is doing good, but if I zoom out on this chart, I could also see that, oh, prices at a major point of resistance. Earnings is coming up in less than a month. Is this likely to continue to run, or is it likely to consolidate around here, especially if the rest of the industry group is not doing well? I opted to take my gains and call it a day. And that's part of the thought process for doing this kind of stuff. A different market environment, different circumstances, and we can adjust. And so, in a nutshell, that is what I'm looking at for general market, some of what I'm looking at for a system, and as well as personal performance. So hopefully this helps you. Let me know what kind of questions you guys have. And while you guys are typing into the chat and putting all of your questions in, I want to share with you too that you could come to marawolf.com and sign up for our free newsletter. We're going to put a lot. We always put a lot into the newsletter. The newsletter goes out every weekend. It goes out on Sundays. If you're not already subscribed to the newsletter, make sure that you're subscribed to the newsletter. But we're going to be putting even more into the newsletter. Here's the newsletter, marawolf.com/newsletter. Weekly trade ideas, education, and a lot more. So let me know what questions you guys have. Oh, wow. I'm looking at the timer up here. It says that we've been going for about 40 minutes. So we're a little bit over time. So please get your questions in quickly, because if not, we'll call it a wrap. Oh, if you're wondering what this thing is back here, this is a Fit Gym. Now, that's something that Fit sent me there. They sent me this for free, which was very, very nice of them. I've been looking for some kind of exercise device to keep in my office. This thing has a very small footprint, able to do pull-ups, dips, all sorts of things with this. It's great. But let me know what questions you guys have. Now, one of the challenging things about doing live streams is that you don't see the audience. So this thing over here on StreamYard is telling me that there's 96 of you that are here in the audience. But if you're not leaving any comments, it's hard for me to know if that number is real, if you guys are alive out there or what. So let me know that you're alive. Type into the chat. Let me know. And at the least, did you enjoy this? Was this helpful to you? Right? Just type into the chat, yes, if you found this live stream to be helpful. Perhaps there's a little bit of a lag. When you guys are doing that, I'll come over, look at this over here. This on Twitter. Ah, this is telling me how many people are watching live. So most of you guys are over on X. I'm alive and I always appreciate your answers, Mike. Julio says, Michael, at what point does percentage R do you usually raise your stop once you enter a trade? So there is a little bit of a lag between me talking and you guys putting the comments in. Great. So now I know that there's that's actually a decent lag, like maybe about a minute. Okay. So to answer Julio's question here, and I'm third, I appreciate the feedback. Thank you. So Michael, at what point a percentage R do you usually raise your stop once you enter a trade? Great question. It's dynamic. The answer is it's dynamic. It depends on a couple of different things. Depends on the market environment. It depends on my personal performance. Something that I routinely monitor, and let me show you the spreadsheet again. So let's get the screen share back up and get the spreadsheet open. So we'll come over here to the close trades tab and scroll down a bit. Scrolling too much. Okay. So over here, you'll notice a couple of different columns. The ones that I want to point out are the high watermark percentage and the high watermark in terms of R. Now, what this is telling me is how far did the trade go while I was holding it. I want to know that because that's one of the things that's telling me in real time, are my trades running further or are they not running so far? And I'll take a look at this over the last several trades And for the most part, I could see that most of the trades as of late haven't run very far, right? Like there's a couple of outliers in here, right? Like that one, 8.83%. Okay, fine. Like that's not, you know, it's no great shakes, but it's decent. 7% one, 18%. There's a big outlier. So if what I'm seeing is that most stocks are not running very far, then that's something that triggers to me, okay, what I need to do is start taking the bulk of my gains faster. And what I also need to do is tighten up my risk. Because if I am taking my gains faster, right? Let's say that I want to take most of my gains at 5%. Then that means that I shouldn't be risking 5% on the trade, because now all of a sudden I've got a 1-to-1 reward to risk. I don't like that. I like to have 2-to-1 reward to risk. So does that mean that I'm necessarily taking all my gains at 5% and I'm only taking trades where I'm risking 2.5%? Not that extreme, but most of my risk will probably be maximum of about 3%, certainly no more than 4%. Right? Because I always want there to be more reward than risk in the trade. And this is how I'm adjusting those things dynamically in real time. Different stages of the market give us different types of opportunities. Earlier in the year, when the market was looking like this, right back here, there was a lot more trades that were running a lot further. Right now, it's been choppy. So take gains quicker. Excellent question. What are the questions you guys have? Yeah, wow, I just saw this on StreamYard. It's telling me that almost everybody is watching over on X, which is pretty darn cool. Got a few people watching over on YouTube. But I'll give you guys a moment here. To ask any other questions. Julio, there was another part of your question that I almost missed. So you had asked about raising stops. So when I'll raise a stop when I make my first scale out. So let's turn this back on. So on ARQT ran up very quickly yesterday. It hit the first scale out. It hit the second scale out. When it hit the first scale out, that's when I'm looking to raise my stop to break even. So that way I'm locking in the rest of the trade. So over here, price hit the first scale out at about just before 10 o'clock Eastern. My stop is going to break even because I don't want that thing to reverse and squat and then make a winner turn into a loser. Every once in a while, I'll end up getting tagged. I would much rather get tagged and have to re-enter the trade than for the trade to cycle into a loss. All right. So, yeah, well, we're about 20 minutes over, so we'll end things here. I want to say thank you all so much for joining me today and for being a part of this live stream. Please continue to comment and let me know if you find this valuable, what other things you would like me to discuss on these live streams. I want to make this as valuable for you as I possibly can. And we'll see about maybe doing some more of these. I've been a little sporadic with the live streams lately. I apologize for that, but looking to bring more consistency to the live streams and to be able to help you guys out even more. All right. That's it for now. Take care, everyone. Much love. Peace out.
Hey, thanks so much for sticking around to the end. If you're new here, hit the subscribe button down below and become a part of the Marrow Wealth community. And make sure that you check out some of the other videos on the channel. They're exactly what you need to see. And leave a comment down below. I read all of them. Leave a comment.